Chesimard was convicted in 1977. 2 years later, she escaped from the prison where she was serving a life sentence, spent time in a series of safe houses in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and fled in 1984 to Cuba. With IRN, USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar.
The following program is brought to you by Tim Elins and Paul Edwards.
Welcome to Left, Right, and You with liberal columnist Jeff Ward and conservative public policy activist Alan Skillicorn on WRMN 1410. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410, 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Alan Skillicorn and Left, Right, and You.
Hey, everyone. This is Alan Skillicorn. Sitting to my left is
Jeff Ward.
Yes.
And it's the May.
Yeah, it's May 2nd.
Second edition of Left, Right. You know, I got the month right for the first time in 3 weeks.
Yep. And then, you know, obviously we moved to Thursdays. This is kind of a...
It's Thursday?
Yeah. People... People don't even realize it's Thursday, but we're here. We're on. Okay. Obviously, if you're listening to the podcast, you just look up, you know, today's date, you know, the May 2nd. You can look up past ones also.
Sure.
You know, we always are going to have archived on our websites.
You can play your favorite Left, Right News over and over again like I do.
Yeah. Or if you want to research something, or just the other night, my wife asked me a question about the show when I was on vacation when Jeff Berkowitz was sitting on the right side. And she asked me a couple questions. And, you know, I have to re-listen to that show to answer those questions. But some of these are keeper shows. Let's put them on your iPod or your phone and listen to them over and over again.
I agree. But
some of them you can just take and maybe auto-tune them and have you have the latest,
Friday,
latest hit on YouTube.
Friday. Yeah. Oh, God. If I start singing, Thursday. That's the end of the show as we know it.
And, you know, some of our guests sometimes ask us for the
music.
Not music. The show. And we also point out we're open source, so you can reuse the show at your will. We just ask you not to attack us or our guests. But, you know, go ahead. Yeah, it is open source.
Although, don't our guests request the show when they want to sue us for libeling them?
Well, the First Amendment is quite literal in my eyes, so I'm not so worried about
Unlike the Second. But hey, Alan, you know, I was apologizing to my blog readers for my lack of posts these days, and I'm writing a book. I've decided to leverage my great journalistic talent and
is this a coffee table book?
No, it's a coffee table. The working title of the book is A Liberal Strikes Back and Calls Out the Conservative Movement for Who They Really Are, or Why Ann Coulter Sucks and Not in a Good Way.
So, you know, that's the longest book title I think I've ever heard.
Oh, you should read the dedication. The dedication is so long at the end of it. And by the way, I personally thank Paul Edwards for – Paul, of course, being the former right host. Side of the show, you know, for showing me how enjoyable it can be to smack down conservatives. So – and, of course, the first chapter in the book is going to start out with the patron saint of the conservative movement, Ronald Reagan. Was a liberal. So, but anyway, that's what I've been up to.
You know, one of these, we have to do a show. We're not going to do it today. We have to do a show talking about what the definition of a liberal is.
Yeah.
Because there's a certain thing called classical liberal, which Milton Friedman writes about quite a bit, and that is nothing like what we'd say a liberal today. That's why I call you a flaming leftist, not a liberal.
And the truth is, I'm actually a moderate.
I call him a commie. That's just me.
Hey, you hear about Dick Durbin defending the commies yesterday?
No, I did not.
So, a lot of people, this is all over blogosphere and Twitter and stuff. So yesterday was May Day. And, you know, I'm sure most of our listeners realize what May Day is when people run around with Soviet flags and talk about, you know, how unions, you know, and all this, and how sharing is good and the government should tax everything and all that good stuff.
I was enjoying red velvet
cupcakes. Although it used to be maypoles and stuff like that.
Well, it also used to be when the Soviets would, you know, drive around with the big nuclear missiles and such. But in Chicago, they had a May Day festival. And there's a gentleman who calls himself Rebel Pundit. He interviewed Senator Dick Durbin, and he said, "How can you defend yourself? You're associating with communists and socialists and anarchists." And he's like, "Communists? Communists where?" And you know, like just like ten feet away from you, there's a Soviet flag. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was quite comical the way he reacted to it. It's like you know, like no big deal. You know, obviously I'm not going to be incriminated, my friends, but. I think he was actually acknowledging that secretly, okay, not so secretly, That's kind of what his tendency is.
Well, I mean, although I don't think, you know, Durbin isn't all that left. I mean, he's certainly a Democrat, but he's not as crazy as some of them here in Illinois. Although, meaning in Springfield, Illinois, he is in Illinois. But, I mean, geez, even Mike Madigan this week came out for pension reform, and the unions are mad at him.
I have been told that Mike Madigan is trying to whack the unions, and that's kind of what's going on. I think he knows that they're going to support him anyways, and there's that, you know, symbiotic bond they had, and what are they going to do? You know, they're going to support the Republicans?
That is true.
Even though there are some Republicans, you know, there are some Republicans that live in the districts down south or where they have university campuses that are very pro-union. That's just a fact of the matter. What are they going to do? Just withdraw their support from the party? I mean,
no, and that's exactly true. And that's why, you know, we used to talk about the campaign and Mitt Romney. It's like, why, you know, who are these crazy right wing nuts going to vote for? Obama?
You know? Yeah, I can agree with that. That's definitely the case. But, you know, on some of these interest groups, I think they're being used by the parties they support. Do you think that African Americans and poor people are being served by a Democratic Party? No, they're not. Do you think unions are really supported by a Democratic Party? No, they're being used.
Yeah, absolutely. But so back to the book. If anybody out there, especially my liberal friends, which sadly, if you take the amount of people on the Left, Right, and You fan page and caller inners, aren't many. But if you have any ideas for chapters of my book, I'd be more than willing to entertain those ideas. But and one of my favorite things, like I said, is issuing that liberal smackdown to conservatives, and I've got one right here for my esteemed co-host, Mr. Skillicorn, because last week we argued about the inability of, despite 86% support, Washington, D.C. could not pass a bill requiring background checks for firearm purchases, you know, via the internet, via gun shows. And Alan's theory was it was a bad bill. My theory, that's why it didn't pass. My theory was it's just more Republican obstructionism. And fascinatingly, on CNN today, Republican Senator Pat Toomey, who was one of the co-sponsors of that bill, there was a Democrat, it was bipartisan, there was a Republican, said, you know, in the end, and I'm quoting here, in the end, it didn't pass because we're so politicized. There were some guys on my side who did not want to be seen helping the president do something he wanted to get done just because the president wanted to do it. And that has been my contention for the last couple of years, that Republicans simply are, you know, want to be obstructionist with the president, and it will come back to haunt them if they ever get a Republican president.
Jeff, you should ask Pat Toomey to be on the show.
I'd love to.
I think that would have been – it'd be interesting to have that conversation. I'm curious. I mean, Pat Toomey, I don't know if people out there are listeners, but, you know, he was supposed to be very conservative. He was the president of Club for Growth, which is primarily a fiscally conservative group.
By the way, my old job. So,
okay, I did not know that, Dave.
By the way, that's Dave, our producer.
And, you know, they basically go for business reforms and stuff, and that's one of their big hot-button issues. Now, I don't know where he stands in other issues. You know, typically, if you're for, you know, lower taxes, smaller government, usually, like, you know, hey, you know, you're for gun rights, too. But I don't know exactly where he stands. It is interesting that the co-sponsor of the bill was able to say something like that. I don't know if it really says that if it was a bad bill or not. From what I have read about it, it was basically the president's bill, and it was more Manchin that kind of pushed it through. But I don't know what – I'd be very curious what was Pat Toomey. But you know what?
Future presidential candidate, I bet. No.
For Pat Toomey?
Pat Toomey, yes.
Okay.
He's going to have some Democrats crossing the line.
I don't think he'll win the primary anymore.
The key point being that, you know, I think Republicans are going to regret – this blocking Obama at all costs, because there will be.
But
I will
still contend this whole blocking thing, because, you know, you mentioned the filibuster.
Right.
And I have always thought the people who cry the loudest about things really don't comprehend those issues as well. And, you know, so like after that show, and you said, well, what did you say about something like no other country has a filibuster?
No other first world democracy.
Okay.
And they're almost all first world. Do you need to regularly get 60% of the vote to succeed?
Okay, I will.
That's exactly what I said.
I will come up with a couple things. Now, the reason I thought of this is these are two bills that I was involved in, And I was either, you know, lobbying people or I was on the Hill or something like that. So I remember being on the Hill. Actually, it was the last time I was on the Hill. Mm-hmm. And there was a really bad bill being passed. You're actually going to agree with this one. Being debated. And it was the extension of the Patriot Act. Okay?
Yes, I would.
And at that time, we were able to stop it. And I just want to bring up what the vote total was. It eventually passed. But I want to bring up what the vote total was. It was 277 to 148, mm-hmm. which is 64% of the vote. And it did not pass. But it was also because that there was a maneuver made where you needed a supermajority, which is actually quite common in the House. I can think of another one. And that was HB 148 a year ago. And this was one that was in Illinois. This wasn't nationally. And this is a situation where we had 65 votes for it. This was a good bill. And 52 people voted against it, which is like 55%. One person voted present on that one. So out of, you know, 118 state reps, you know, 65 voted for it and 52 voted against it. And typically, you know, you need 60 to pass the House in Illinois. This was a situation because of certain rules. And the people who cry the loudest about filibuster reform or filibuster abuse, maybe, I want to ask them, do they know Robert's Rules of Order, which is what we've done? And the filibuster goes back to, you know, the ancient Greeks.
But you used to actually have to do it, and that was the was the check and balance, that you actually had to stand there and speak for there to be a filibuster. You really had to be.
Oh, I'll give you that point. Yeah. But the Senate, the United States Senate, has always had a rule where they can end filibusters, and that isn't always the case. Look at the state of Texas.
60 votes to do it.
The state of Texas, they cannot end the filibuster. Mm-hmm. So if 99% of Texas senators say, we want to end this, this guy is a crackpot, we don't want to listen to him anymore, they can do nothing but sit there or leave. So,
but does the Texas state senator have to actually do the filibuster?
Well, yeah, they do. Okay. Well, but that's the thing. But here's the situation. They can say, we're going to filibuster this bill, don't bring it up. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, that's reality, what's going to happen, especially the majority party, because back in the day when there was more of this going on, and there's still a lot of this actually going on, maybe not so much here, but they would go, I'm going to yield my time to my esteemed colleague, and he's going to read the book of Genesis.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of how it works. Well, you know, back in Texas, there was one guy who stood for 44 hours and debated his bill. I have a feeling a lot of it was him taking little naps and things like that. And, you know, in Texas, you can't sit down. I think he had the aid of a cane, as I recall, mm-hmm. And he had certain technology helping him, you know, certain items helping with the biological functions, you know, for 44 hours.
Oh, I don't want to go into
it. Yeah, we're not going to go into it radio, but I just want to let you know that it is a common technique. And one thing about the United States Senate is they actually have a very low threshold to end a filibuster. And that's the kind of point that I want to make. It's not this draconian thing that some people in the media – well, I think what it is – I get these emails from MoveOn.org, and they're like, Republicans abusing the filibuster. And I'm like, it's just a
– If you compare pure numbers – and I did not bring the numbers. Mm-hmm. I've written about it. I've also mentioned it here. The use of the filibuster has skyrocketed. It is, and that's directly tied to the fact that you don't actually have.
But
to
I
do
also
that
think it's also become norm to find cloture.
I think it will be now, but I think Republicans are going to regret.
I don't think that's
be
a bad
used
thing
against them.
Then that's fine. I think, but that's democracy.
But we're not getting anything done.
But that's actually a good thing if
they're trying to do bad stuff. I'd rather they do nothing.
When the shoe is on the other foot, and eventually will be, where the Republicans control the Senate. And vice versa.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Democrats will have no problem doing the threat of the filibuster the same way. And you're right. Nothing will happen.
And not everything is bad stuff. So.
And I remember back when Barack Obama was elected, and there was some controversy over him getting the 60th vote. Mm-hmm. And I remember some financial experts going, you know, hey, we're siding with Barack Obama because, you know, they were bankers and they wanted the money. That's really what it came down to. Mm-hmm. But they are also concerned that they didn't want a filibuster-proof Senate. Because they were a little afraid. Okay, we don't want fast-paced change. You know, we still want our bailouts.
And that's what Paul Edwards, what's one of his best things. If you look at the state of Arizona right now, where they have a supermajority of Republicans, they are passing some wacky bleep in that state.
Well,
we've
got a supermajority of Democrats here, but most people that are political experts.
Yeah, Illinois is another example.
Well, but it's also hard to manage your own caucus. Mm-hmm. You know, and part of it is that, you know, Illinois is a diverse state. The Southern Illinois Democrats are very different than Chicago Democrats. You know, and you know, they also look at Elgin. We've got incompetent Democrats here. I mean, you've got guys that vote against, you know, against the Elgin Zone interest with the casino.
Right. Yes.
Or vote present. Or you got people that, you know, were outright lie about their position. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and look, lo and behold, they can't get anything done. I mean, right. you've got a senator here that tries to go against the president of the Senate. Look, why doesn't Elgin get a, you know, get the interchange between 20 and McLean fixed? I mean, that's pretty simple.
It is. Trust me, as someone who comes that way, it is happening.
Oh, it's a horrible. Whenever I drive to the community college there, you literally have to get there before rush hour, or it's an hour long trip just to move a few miles.
It's over. They got to do something about it. But anyway, again, though, you know, I still think Republicans are abusing it. I think Senator Toomey's dead on.
So here's a question: mm-hmm. Did the Democrats abuse the quorum rules in Madison when they fled the state 2 years ago? You remember that?
I thought that was kind of cheesy. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. You know what?
At least you're consistent.
Let the people decide. You can't just. No. We should have kicked their sorry bleeps right back to. Because they all came to hide here. If I caught one of them, I would have kicked their sorry bleep back to Wisconsin.
Even though it was good for those hotels in Rockford?
Yeah. Although I thought, it probably was punishment enough that they had to stay in Rockford. but hey, and we had another great conversation on the Left, Right, and You Facebook fan page, as I call it, where you made an interesting post about where you thought that the media was being hypocritical in regards to Tim Tebow versus Jason Collins. Again, for our listeners, Tim Tebow is a currently unemployed NFL quarterback who likes to bow and pray whenever something good happens on the football field. And Jason Collins is the 7-foot center for the New Jersey.
I believe he's been wavered. I think his career is probably done.
Who came out as gay, and Alan? Well, why don't rather than say Alan said, why don't posit your hypothesis, Alan?
Well, I saw this graphic. It was very interesting comparing Tim Tebow's reaction, you know, what the media says about him versus what they say about Jason Collins. Mm-hmm. And I did think it was very telling. I don't see anyone attacking Jason Collins. I mean, the harshest thing I saw was an ESPN writer who said something like, "I don't care." Yeah. That's the harshest thing I've seen. Well, I think the majority of Americans feel the same way.
Yeah, Charles Barkley said, we've been playing with gay players all along. We knew, but go ahead.
Okay. But obviously there's been this huge reaction by the media. And even the local Chicago stations have kind of come on board. You know, you have the president saying he was a hero. You have Michelle Obama tweeting. I mean, Michelle Obama doesn't tweet about you, does she?
Not that I'm aware of.
So, I mean, obviously this was a big, big deal. Yet I have heard a lot of negative stuff about Tim Tebow. And I think it's very judgmental. I mean, I think what you – even you said, you say he makes a big deal of his prank. But – I don't think any of us are anointed judge and jury over the condition of Tim Tebow's heart. You know, is he being sincere or not? I don't know. I don't care. Kind of like with Jason Collins.
Right.
You know, now that I do know, I don't care.
But and you know what? And you're, I think your basic point is correct. And if Jason Collins came out and really, now I'm going to get in trouble here, supposed liberal, really gated up, you know, I would be like, oh, Lord. You know, it's kind of like – I remember when Ellen DeGeneres – when she actually did a sitcom, that's when she came out as gay. And, you know, the show just made this massive turn. It's like I think there is such a thing as being too gay, you know, when it's – that's all it's about. So if Jason Collins went there
– I was waiting for you to bring up Paris Hilton in this. Or no, Perez Hilton. I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord. Don't get me started. But – you know, but Tim Tebow to me, and now I assume you were joking, Mr. Skillicorn, when you kept asking me on Facebook if I was anti-Christian bigot.
That's what your T-shirt says.
I'm just saying.
You're very judgmental. And you know what? If people said the same type of stuff against Jason Collins, the left would go, "You're a bigot. You're a gay hater. You're a homophobe."
But I don't think what I think I was to the point, but
that's
I wasn't
attacking.
That's what
Alan's T-shirt says, by the way. So.
I believe in holding Christians' feet to the fire, and because it's a really tough standard.
But not Perez Hilton's feet.
Well, I don't want to get anywhere near any part of Perez Hilton. You wouldn't know what you'll catch. But
hey, that was not called for. But
But in any event, but you know, Tim Tebow, there, I talked to the minister that married my wife and I, and a Lutheran minister who married an ex-Catholic and an Episcopalian. And while he
and then you guys walked into a bar, which
yes.
is really weird.
he said, well, maybe I don't feel as bad feel as strongly about Tim Tebow as you do, Jeff, but I really wish he'd tone it down. And my point on Facebook was,
and I'm curious, what sect of Lutheran Church was this?
The mainline, the Missouri Synod, I want to say.
Okay. Or, I would be shocked if it was the Missouri, but I was surprised.
They are conservative. They are very conservative.
You know, Fred Reichlow, he's been a minister for pastor forever. He's currently retired. But the bottom line is, my point on that I was making was, I think, you know, and yeah, I made a living as an opinion columnist looking into people's souls and hearts, and I think Tim Tebow goes too far. And I think it he doesn't.
Is that how you really pronounce his name? Is it Tebow or is it Tebow?
I'm not sure. Okay. I've heard Tebowing and I've heard Tebowing. Yeah. I think Tim Tebow goes.
I'm not denigrating
Christians, but there are so many biblical caveats against being that prideful in your religion. I mean, the biggest one is the Pharisee and the Republican in the temple when, you know, they go in to pray. The other one is when, you know, the rich guy comes up to Jesus and says, you know, hey, I've done everything right. I've followed the commandments. And Jesus kind of what else can I do to, you know, get to the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus, of course, said, go sell everything and follow me. And the guy walked away. I mean, it's a high, tough standard. And Tim Tebow goes too far. He puts it on display. And again, the example I used on Facebook is if any of us went to work and started praying in the middle of, you know, you make a sale, I get something right in the database. We start praying in the middle of it. I don't know if we're going to be employed after a week, you know, and if we were Islamic and pulled out the prayer rug at noon, oh, I think that could be really difficult. So that's the point I was trying to make.
Here's the point for the Jets picking up Tim Tebow and then dropping Tim Tebow. They knew they were going to get Tim Tebow the
right.
prayer. They knew they were going to get Tim Tebow the Christian.
Oh, absolutely.
They knew they were, you know, but then they didn't use him.
Right.
For whatever reasons. I mean, I've heard he's a good athlete. He's a great.
I don't think he's that great of a quarterback in the offensive schemes that are more prevalent in the NFL right now.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just, you know, I am just saying if you know, they didn't even use what they, you know, he was, how many games did he play last year? Did he play any games last year?
I think he took a few snaps, but he definitely did not start a game.
Yeah. I mean, again, if you were the New York Jets and you hired somebody, Tim Tebow, why wouldn't you play him? And then be disappointed that our season sucked.
And I don't think, I think as far as the Jets went, you know, I don't think it had anything to do with
it. Yeah, I wouldn't criticize the Jets for what they did. Right. I mean, Sanchez had a bad year, but, you know, also I don't know if Tebow's talents fit in that organization very well. And I don't know if he was making the league minimum or not, but let's say they offered him a decent contract and it was burning up salary cap, you know, why?
I mean, right.
Here's a guy that, you know, in a certain situation, now the Denver's 2 years ago, it worked great.
Mm-hmm.
But in most situations, it's probably not, you know, is he backup caliber? Quite possibly.
But he
shouldn't be burning up salary cap either.
Right. And again, in pro football, maybe soccer even more so, but you really have to be a team player to succeed. It's not like baseball. It's not, you know, where you know, you can survive in these limited roles. And, when you garner that much press, and when you make an effort to garner that much press, it can become problematic. I don't think Tim Tebow will get another job in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
but there's a lot of great people that go up to Canada and play too, or whatever.
Right, and he might survive in that.
And there's some people that, you know, their pro careers never materialize.
Right,
and that's fine too.
But again, with me, you know, I think, you know, Christianity is an incredibly high standard, and there are and that kind of prideful praying and making a point of your faith goes against the Bible in so many ways. I felt the need to say, you know what? If Jason Collins was, like I said, gaying it up, with my apologies to all my gay friends, I would have the same problem I have with Tim Tebow for christening it up.
I don't think either one of us are annoyed at the judge Tim Tebow's intentions. Or, you know, there are people of charismatic faiths mm-hmm. that, you know, if I go to their church and they've got streamers out and they're healing people right there and stuff, I go, wow. but that's not what the faith tradition that I come from. And of course, it
but in their own backyard, I'm okay with it. Their church.
They'll do it in their. But I have a feeling these people are very, they're more charismatic in their daily lives also. And I don't know if he comes from that faith tradition or not, but I am not one to judge it.
All right. Well, on that note, should we?
Why don't pay
the bills?
Why don't we go to break? Do you want to share an ad?
Well, yeah. Well, hey, again, Rediscover Records. They're actually going to have a professional spot done, but Rediscover Records, 2000 East Chicago. Vinyl sounds, as you know.
The Route 19, right?
I'm sorry?
That's Route 19, right?
I believe it is.
Just up the street from the
it's just
little coffee house there,
yeah,
right?
And just it's across the parking garage, 3 blocks west of the river. And, hey, I just got the latest issue of Rolling Stone, and vinyl sales are at a 15-year high. The music industry may be suffering.
It's probably because of you. We've been talking about it for 3 weeks now.
That's true. It's the left, right, you bump. But, hey, get over. See Rich. They have a lot of great stuff. They have new vinyl. They have old vinyl.
Do they resell stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's mostly, used record stores.
Do they have any cheap trick?
Yes.
I'm sure they probably do.
Sure.
It's Rediscover Records, right?
207 East Chicago. Rich Wagner, your proprietor. Buy vinyl.
Very good. And this is Left, Right, and You on WRM AM 1410.
As a small business owner, I've learned to rely on my vendors not just for their supplies, but rather for their expertise they have in their field. When it came to providing healthcare solutions for my family and my staff, I needed a company I could trust. That's why I turned to Benefits Age, the employee benefits specialists. Benefits Age is an independent insurance brokerage that finds coverage for their clients' needs. They took the time to learn what was important to me and my staff and then put together a comprehensive wellness plan, including medical, dental, life, and disability coverage that met our needs. So if you're looking for someone you can trust with the well-being of your family and your staff, call Benefits Age at 800-317-0181. Once again, you can reach Benefits Age at 1-800-317-0181 or online at www.benefitsage.com. If you're anything like me, you get confused by Blu-ray, HD, CD, HD, DVD, USB, MP3. I mean, really, who knows what all these mean? Well, I'll tell you who. Failsafe Media Company does. These guys started out duplicating floppy disks back in 1983, and now are the leaders in electronic media duplication, replication, packaging, and distribution. So if you're looking for an expert who's been there every step of the way, contact Rollo of Failsafe Media at 800-537-1919 or visit him at www.failsafeinc.com. Remember, if you want your electronic media duplication, replication, packaging, and distribution done right, go to Failsafe. Did you know that by raising expectations, you can change the life of a child? That's exactly what Gigi's Playhouse, a Down Syndrome Awareness Center, strives to do. By helping all children and adults reach their highest potential, Gigi's is changing the way the world views Down Syndrome. All of the programs are free and educational in nature. Each of them are designed to work on specific skill development and are run by qualified volunteers. There are 9 Gigi's Playhouses around the nation, 5 in Chicagoland, 1 in New York, 1 in Atlanta, and 2 in Iowa. And more opening soon. On February 26, 2011, there will be a national gala event at each location on the same night. Please go to www.gigisplayhouse.org for more information and to get involved. In today's challenging business climate, payroll, benefits, and loss production are some of the largest expenses facing companies today. Fortunately, Interactive Health Solutions, with their preventive care programs, have a proven track record of reducing healthcare premiums while improving the overall health of your workforce, resulting in cost savings, increased productivity, and a healthier, happier employee. For more information, visit us at www.interactivehealthsolutions.com or by phone at 847-754-2698. Remember, Interactive Health Solutions is your path to a happier, healthier, and more productive employee.
Welcome back to Left, Right, and You. I love the new bumper. I love the new bumper music, Dave. It's much more fun. Mm-hmm. And I actually wanted to share a little bit with our listeners out there. And I just, there's a lot of people that are listeners that are small business owners and they're looking for better internet presence. There's a lot of people that need a new website for their organization. How does your blog rank with all the search engines, Jeff?
It's number one.
Do people, do businesses out there need a secure e-commerce solution? Well, Odyssey
Absolutely.
Forge has a customized solution for you. Odyssey Forge can set up a two-step security plan, Apple Retina-friendly sites, and even mobile optimized designs. Odyssey Forge can work out custom CMS solutions, and they're also specialist e-commerce and SEO. Odyssey Forge powers my personal website, www.alanskillicorn.com, and Odyssey Forge can work for you. Look up Odyssey Forge. It's ODYSSEYFORGE.com today.
Sounds good. And speaking of technology, don't we have a special guest, Alan? So you might
It's quite timely.
You want to keep your pink headphones on.
Yes, it's quite timely that we're going to go to our – we're trying to have some more regular things. And
sure.
We'll have a tech update every once in a while. And we're bringing in a someone who's an expert in technology. Brett Haas is on the phone right now. Brett, can you hear us?
Hi there.
Hey.
How are
Brett?
You guys?
Good. How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good, good. I'm doing well.
I just want to quickly explain to our listeners
– screens.
Okay. Do you want to quickly explain to our listeners where your expertise comes from and why you're the guy that knows technology?
Okay. Well, I'm a well-connected person in the startup community in Chicagoland. And I've co-founded businesses and founded businesses here in Chicagoland. And my background, I started things as a software developer and sort of worked up the ranks. And now I'm in senior management for a tech company in the Naperville area. But I'm also a futurist, so I examine trends, and I'm in fact writing a book about future trends.
You too.
Although yours may be political.
Yes, mine is a wee bit political.
Certainly having delved into the political in my life, I understand that space, and it's ripe for disruption, if you understand disruption.
I do.
That could be our theme word, disruption. Yeah. So, Brett, what are you seeing that's exciting in the tech world today?
There's so many things. I mean, you hear big words and terms that they throw around, and a lot of it's brand speak, but things like big data, big data is basically, as you add the increasing volumes of data, and the rapidly changing variety of data, you end up in this, and you add broadband and things like that into it, you end up with streaming data. It's huge amounts of data, and there's just a huge industry burgeoning around that, managing that data, understanding how to understand the data. And of course, mobile is around us everywhere, and that, we're only at the beginning of that revolution. I mean, with devices in our hands and, maybe some other interesting things like devices that will be on our heads like Google Glass, you combine that with mobile and the Internet of Things, and I think you're
onto
some
pretty
huge
changes.
Now,
what is Google Glass?
Okay, I don't know. Yeah, listeners probably haven't heard of this. It's due to be out by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. You have.
Well,
okay,
it's already out to developers, right, Brett? I mean, if you're a developer, you might have a pair.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I'm not one of those lucky people who
Yeah, Stephen Colbert was begging for a pair yesterday.
some of my Twitter followers have Google Glass, and they're quite, they create a lot of envy. So, Google Glass is basically, it takes anything that you would see on your screen and it projects it directly into your eye. It's not a set of eyeglasses, although, they're building a Google Glass that allows for prescription lenses, mm-hmm. but it projects the image directly into your eye, and it can network with things like mobile devices. There's still a lot that's not known about it, and this early edition, what's been released to developers, the capabilities, it's got maybe five apps on it, but it can record, It can take pictures. So there's a lot of that. And if you start using your imagination when you've got smartphones and you start hearing about things like the iWatch, these devices are going to be talking to each other. So your apps and your smartphone, you know, your Foursquare, you can basically check in and you'll see all of that directly through your Google Glass.
Now, Brett, is this going to be a fad, or is this really going to catch on where this is a new way to experience media?
No, I think you know, there's a lot of factors in there that are the X factor. So I fervently believe that disruption's biggest enemy is really regulation and vested interests. So, you know, you hear a lot about people trying to disrupt the ground transportation industry, and I was involved in that with some of the startups that I've been co-founded, where you see things like Uber, or you see systems like Lyft, where, you know, instead of taking a taxi, why not just hop in somebody's car?
Sure.
Because they're already going somewhere. Well, of course, the regulators want to get on that and say, well, how is that not a taxi service? Well, the same thing is true for something like Google Glass. But I think not only is regulation an X factor, but also security is an X factor there, privacy and security, because people think, you know, they don't want to be recorded everywhere. But I have to know that there's some very simple solutions to Google's problem there, and I'm sure their engineers have already figured that out, and we'll be implementing that.
Well, and in fact, hopefully, in our next segment, we'll be talking about Elgin expanding their video surveillance program, which,
if we have time, we'll get to that. That'll be a fun one.
But the Brett, the one thing I'm dying to ask you as a former trader. Is
wait, you're a trader? I thought they executed traders.
No.
He does know Dick Durbin.
TRADER. Bitcoins, which took a massive plunge recently.
Massive Bitcoins.
Do you want to explain to our listeners what Bitcoins are exactly?
Yeah, I'm not really a Bitcoin user, but I'll explain to you what they are. Mm-hmm. Bitcoin sort of portend what the future of currency could become. So, but what they are is they're essentially an electronic currency, but there's a limited supply. So there is a controlled limited supply. I believe it's 21 million, is the limit. And what you do is you set up, mining operations that are basically, using, you know, algorithms to mine Bitcoin. So your computer or groups of computers, and this is usually done with groups of, you know, many computers, and then you share the proceeds when you mine Bitcoins, you end up mining these Bitcoins, and they're divvied out in portions of 50. So if you're one of the lucky ones and your computer gets pay dirt, you get 50 Bitcoins, and I believe they're worth like maybe about $90, 90 US dollars is the value.
They've been as high as 212.
Yeah. So it's fluctuated, but given the recent, you know, hacking attacks, and the big thing there is, Bitcoins are used right now in kind of the deep web, with, you know, underground websites like Silk Road. To buy things like drugs and all sorts of stuff that,
right,
you know,
yeah,
is totally illegal. So Bitcoin has a bad name because of that. But in large part, you can look at this and say, you know, so did the Internet. I mean, the Internet started off, and there was a lot of kind of bad stuff being passed around on the Internet.
There's more now than ever.
Yeah, it's called AP in the mainstream
exactly.
Media.
Yeah.
But it's isn't it fascinating? I mean, I like to call the Internet the great democratizer, Brett. And you know, not only does it give, you know, anybody can blog, anybody can set up a business, but now, I mean, it has its own currency. Although much like Beanie Babies and the tulip mania back, you know, in the 1800s with the Dutch, you know, you've now got this currency that's worth exactly as much as the person buying it thinks it's worth.
I saw an episode like that on regarding the Bitcoin on The Good Wife. I think they did a Bitcoin trader.
Mm-hmm. So I will have to look that up on on demand.
But
you know, that
yes,
that is fascinating.
Netflix.
Because I mean, I see a lot of people that are talking about this. They're not people that are very excited about fiat money. They like hard currency. They like gold and silver-backed things. Yet they are the enthusiasts for Bitcoin, which is the opposite you know, the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And I do see some advantages where, you know, you wouldn't be tracked with it. You know, it's okay for online purchases and such. But there is the possibility that you have to, you know, just like the Federal Reserve prints out money and devalues our currency every day. I mean, who is actually going to enforce the guys who created Bitcoin for not making more than these, you know, 21 million Bitcoins?
Right. Suddenly they, you know, they invoke monetary easing on Bitcoin. Well, here's something interesting that you bring up. I mean, we're talking about fads. You know, are these things going to be fads? I personally don't think Google Glass and Google Glass-like products are going to be fads. I think it will beat the regulations. I think there's so much. I mean, it's a potentially a many-trillion-dollar market.
Yeah, and I would agree with you, Brett. Although I can see all the accidents on Randall Road now, but go ahead.
But the Canadian government is actually, I believe they've issued their own Bitcoin-like internet currency.
Oh, interesting.
That's something
we'll
have to.
I don't know the name of it, but if a government has done that, you know, there's definitely something there.
Oh, something's
going to
happen.
What if the governor of Bermuda, maybe the Swiss or you know the Cayman Island government came up with a currency like this, which was underneath their bank secrecy laws? That could be very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to happen. But Brett, Dave, our producer just flashed us a note. You know, where can folks find you if they want to find you?
Unless
you don't want to be found.
Interact with, yeah. You know, as we're talking about Bitcoin, right? Silk Road. You can find me at Brett73 on Twitter, and that's the number 7 and the word 3, THREE.
All right.
And that's the best way for people to interact with me. Just the and then you know as I
so
as
no
I pull
website
into the circle
yeah. unless you send him some bitcoins.
Of course, maybe Brett's virtual. We don't know he actually exists. We're just talking to him over digital
okay.
phone.
Okay, I want to ask Brett. His opinion.
Go
on
ahead
it.
And ask your question. Yeah. And we'll
oh,
wrap
I
up.
Have a question. Personal. What do you favor as a tablet? What do you use as a tablet, Brett? Do you use the iPad? iPad versus like a tablet, whether a Kindle or what do you suggest
Samsung.
for consumers?
I have 4 Apple products in my house, and I have 3 PC, you know, basically 3 PCs and 4 Apple products. Now, the Apple products, I've got 2 Macs and an iPad, and actually I've got 5, so I've got 2 iPhones because my wife has an iPhone as well. So I use an iPad, and the main reason I use the iPad, I'm no Apple cultist, you know what I mean? I think Apple built an amazing brand. I worry a lot about their innovation. I think they have an organizational leader at the head of the business now, as opposed to an innovator like Jobs. And that's not to say that they aren't going to continue to innovate because there's a lot of innovation that obviously came out of Apple, and I think there's a lot of people on the team, but you don't see that strong innovator at the helm anymore. So I am worried about Apple. I was never a cultist, but I do think that they produce some good products. I use my iPad mainly because I've gone paperless. So there's applications like Bamboo and Penultimate. You combine those things with Evernote, and you pretty much don't need paper anymore. You just get a stylus, and you can take all your notes on your iPad.
Wow.
I know you can do that with Droid devices as well. There's a number of good Droid devices.
Is it worth it to get it if you're deciding whether it's between whether the Samsung or an Apple product? You would go as a tech person or as with the Apple product?
Honestly, right now, Microsoft is looking pretty nice with Surface tablets.
Okay. Ooh, Windows 8, uh-oh. Windows 8. Oh. See, I was about to say he's a fan of Apple, but not an Apple fanboy.
Okay.
That note,
okay.
we'll probably let Brett go.
Thank you very much.
Brett, thank you so much
for calling in.
Thanks, guys.
And playing off what Brett said about the Google Glass, you know, one of the issues, of course, being, you know,
is it for driving? Yeah.
Well, driving, of course. But if you're being
flying an airplane,
there are good things about surveillance being everywhere. They caught the Boston bombers. But what I don't get is why the folks who are so rabid about the Second Amendment don't don't fear 1984. They don't fear this law this continuing law enforcement encroachment. You mentioned the Patriot Act before. I'm totally against it. You know, Elgin now is officially expanding their.
Aha, you printed it out. That's what I wanted to see.
Video surveillance
so,
program.
So, the Elgin Courier?
It's the Elgin Courier News, yep. They still exist. It's their STS program, which stands for Security Through Surveillance. And what they're doing, they joke about starting off with a camera, one GPS device, and, you know. But now they're trying to get private businesses to kind of sign on to this program and be, you know, really proactive about aiding the Elgin police force in catching.
It's kind of like watching 24 when you had Jack Bauer and they would use, you know, video surveillance off of ATMs and parking lots and privately owned security cameras in jewelry stores and stuff. It's a little creepy, isn't it?
It's a lot creepy. And, you know, one of my favorite quotes, and you alluded to it a couple weeks ago, was Benjamin Franklin, who said, "Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety." And
there's a lot of truth to that. Yeah. You know, when I read that article, I was like halfway done with it. I'm like, how many times have they mentioned the word surveillance?
Right, I know.
And
nobody.
That is not a word that – if I was the PR guy for their program, okay, I would not be bringing up the scariest word in the English language.
And, you know, don't most of us already have a big brother? I mean, I am my brother's big brother, but, you know, the potential for abuse is freaking enormous. And you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to catch a criminal or something, but that, you know, that article went on. They have GPS tracking devices they can put in your car.
Right.
You know, I want to ask.
Without a warrant.
Yeah, are they getting a warrant? And here's the thing. If you've got a drug dealer. Okay, and you want to catch him. Okay, let's say the police want to catch him. How hard is it to call a judge and go, "This is the evidence we have.
Right.
This is the justification to violate his rights. Let's go ahead and do it." And then the judge weighs the Constitution.
And almost always finds in favor of the police officers.
Yes.
Yes.
But how hard is it for the police to reach out and get a search warrant in these cases?
Yeah, and
it's not that hard.
It isn't. And the thing, Alan, sorry, but I can't remember the last time the Elgin Police Force sent me a check. You know, whether I'm a private business or what, and I love Jeff Svoboda. I think the Elgin Police Force does a great job. But you know what? And we should help the police, much like the folks did in Boston and the what was it, Lord and Taylor or whatever store caught it on their.
Well, here's the thing. They saw this and they volunteered. It's
right.
Just like let's say there's a murder down the street, and you have a choice to make. Do the people turn in the criminal, or do the people protect him? Well, obviously, the people need to say, "Here he is. I'm going to testify for him. I witnessed it." And they shouldn't protect him. You look at inner city Chicago, where the police have a bad reputation, probably because they've used tactics like this in the past, which are questionable, and they've made everybody angry, and people don't trust the police. That's what Elgin has to worry about. You know, they have had some crime issues in the past. There are sectors of Elgin where they have some crime. And obviously, we want to help the police solve these cases. But by going to the extreme and having it so people don't trust the police, I think they're doing more harm than good.
This could be scary. We're agreeing.
Yes, this is a horrible time.
You know,
I'm getting a little emotional here because Jeff and I agree on this.
No, I'm not going to kiss you though, Alan.
I'm not that kind of emotional.
Even though you're trying, but yeah.
Jason Collins, line one.
But, you know, I understand if a crime is committed to seek in a certain area to seek out the folks who have cameras that might have seen it. But to actively bring them on, I mean, red light cameras are blatantly unconstitutional. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah, you have the Fifth and Sixth Amendment protects you from that.
Right.
Yet, because there's so much money to be made, they forget about it.
Now, speed cameras. It's funny. You know, the thing that's holding up speed, and Dave's taking our picture right now on cell phone.
I just thought it would be ironic. Yeah. That's all.
Speed, being uploaded right now.
Speed cameras. Oh, you know, the funny thing, the two things that are holding up speed cameras in Chicago is Illinois has one of these weird laws where children have to be present. So they have to have a camera for children.
God forbid, children have to be present in a school zone.
Yeah. And
trying to change that. They're actively trying to change it. It is actually being debated right now. And
so they could do blank and speed. And I almost didn't say blank, and thankfully.
and but here, it gets even worse, more insidious than that. it's not like they're actually trying to go after criminals. In those cases, right. It's purely about profit, and they don't even care about who commits it. You know, no. It could be your wife driving the car, or daughter, or your mechanic could be driving the car. They don't care. They just want the money. You know, and it's not about stopping people from committing crimes or keeping them safe. It's about mailing them the freaking bill.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
And so now, you know, it's just one small step to using these private cameras to rake in public profit.
Do you remember when we first started the show, and we were sitting right on Douglas Avenue outside after the show, and I said to you and Timmy Lenz at the time, "What's that camera doing up there?"
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a stoplight camera. There is just a regular camera sitting on the stoplight.
They're all over Chicago.
It was in Chicago. This was right in downtown Elgin.
Yeah.
And I just think that people in Elgin should know about this. I mean, they should smile because mm-hmm. they're probably on camera.
Or as I do, flip the bird. But, I don't understand how Tea Partiers and the folks, you know, who are so vehement about gun ownership don't see this as something so much worse.
Some of them do, and it's more the libertarian element that is more interested in civil liberties. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that are definitely side with the statist point of view that, mm-hmm. oh, if someone's breaking a law, he needs to be caught. Well, what if it's you breaking a bad law?
Right.
What if it's a law that restricts your freedom and they're targeting you? What if you're the Tea Party guy that they're trying to catch?
Yeah,
and they really should think about that.
And we all, I mean, stop signs, we all treat them as suggestions. Come on, we all know how we drive.
And to be honest, how many accidents have we been in because of that?
I mean, zero.
It's very, very small statistically. Now, a four-way stop, obviously you don't want someone running through.
Right.
A four-way intersection, you don't want someone just blasting through. Mm-hmm. But in reality, these devices are there to make some money because someone stops a couple inches past the line. Maybe the intersection's drawn poorly and you don't have poor sight lines. You're trying to make a legitimate right turn on red, and you can't see the traffic, so you pull up past that line. Whoop! You're in violation of the law, and you're now $100 poorer. You know, is that the kind of society we want to live in? It's not the society I want to live in, but you know what? I serve on a board with trustees that think that's the society they want to live in, but that's also so they can spend more money.
And the other thing that really gets me, Ellen, is, you know, it's quite clear that when economies improve, crime goes down. When economies tank, crime goes up. And why, you know, we are failing to address the underlying causes of crime more than ever.
That's true.
And I have to say, getting back to our kind of Christian theme, that the folks that take that route who claim to be Christian, you know, might have some splaining to do sometime down the road, you know, if they do believe in the pearly gates and having to account for certain things.
Because they didn't stop crime? Or
because they didn't address the issues. They didn't.
Okay.
They, you know, feed the poor, man. That's critical. Feed the poor. And by the way, we don't have too much time, but the third annual, as I put on our outline, but the third Love Elgin Day, they just had.
Yeah, please explain that for our listeners.
Basically, a group of churches get together. It was founded by an Elgin pastor. And, twice a year, they pass out clothes, moral support, food to folks who need it.
It happened last Saturday, right?
That's right.
Yep.
That's why I'm bringing it up. And, you know, the Reverend Robert Saturi of First United Methodist Church in Elgin said, "We have been doing what God has called us to do." And I got to tell you, I love that because I feel so many conservatives kind of forget, you know.
And yet I couldn't get a parking space. So what am I?
I don't like to make this political because there's people of both persuasions that forget that.
Oh, absolutely.
That, you know, for society to work well, we've need to work together.
Right.
And that, you know, and obviously I'm of the belief that I think government does an inefficient job of redistributing wealth. And I mm-hmm. think it's a inefficient economic model. So I think that burden comes on us. And I have no problem responding to that burden. And to be honest, because I can be frugal with my thermostat and turning off lights and just, you know, buying cars over 100,000 miles and stuff, it allows me an opportunity to be generous when those opportunities come up. And I think it's important for all of us.
But Dave's flashing the 1 minute sign.
Very generous with the clock.
So where can they find, and either that or he's flipping us the bird, where can they find you, Alan?
Well, I've got a website, www.alanskillicorn.com, and I regularly put up just articles that I care about or stuff that I write or nationally focused, locally focused, state focused. Also, Twitter. You know, just follow me on Twitter at Alan Skillicorn.
And I'm thefirstword.net. The post will be light while I'm writing the book, but I would love suggestions.
How long is it going to take you to write this book?
I'm guessing 6 months.
Well, that's a lot of light post time.
Yeah, so, you know.
Well, I've been
making
up the
slack. You write it on Google Glass then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
That would be
great.
But
I want to thank all of our listeners for listening to Left, Right, and You.
Thank Brett for calling in.
Yes, and if you're on the podcast, just tell your friends. You know, send them the link. And
join the discussions on the Facebook page.
Glad you're here, and yes, you can join the discussions and let Jeff have a piece of your mind. Again, this is Left, Right, and You on WRMN.
Thanks for listening.
To adopt a cat or a dog, please stop by our shelter at 1000 South LaFox Road in South Elgin. You are listening to WRMN 1410 in Elgin.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Hope Duggar. The U.S. has called on North Korea to release immediately an American citizen.